At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So, when I check up on that story, on the other end, I look up at my idols and they didn't move an inch for me, you know? So, I don't know, because I put a lot of time in it and also a lot of money. Just one book was like maybe 50 euros. So, and yeah, I'm like Eli. Maybe they were sleeping or traveling or busy, I don't know. But the world system I believed in had no power and also didn't care about my problems. So today we will see through a passage that if there is no power and faithfulness in any idols, we can rely on God in any situation. Amen? So let's open our Bible in 2 Kings chapter 4 from the verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. Okay, let's read. A certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophet cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slave." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessel to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons live on the rest." Okay, so this is our story today. We will follow a family of two children in the time of Elijah, in the time of King of Israel. The husband, who was a prophet servant, has died, and leaving behind him his wife and two children. And in addition of this heavy loss, there was also a creditor who demanded that his debt be repaid. And probably they had used creditor as the same we use bank today to buy homes and cars. So the problem of the creditor is the main problem of this passage. There was no money left to repay the creditor. The only things left was a little jar of oil. So, not that much. So, if her husband during his life feared God, we can see that the creditor did not. For it was forbidden at that time in Israel to buy an Israelite as a slave. The word of God declared in the law in Leviticus 25, 39 and 43, this is very clear. "If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and sell themselves to you, do not make them work as slaves. They are to be treated as hired worker or temporary resident among you. They are to work for you until the year of Jubilee. Then they and their children are to be released, and they will go back to their own clans, to the property of their ancestor. because the Israelites are my servants, whom I brought out of Egypt, they must not be sold as slaves. Do not rule over them ruthlessly, but fear God. So we understand here the creditor didn't fear God. Despite this prohibition, the creditor persisted to take the children as a slave to repay the debt. He didn't care about the widow's problem and the fact that her two sons was her last hope to survive this situation in deep poverty, because being alone in deep poverty, and maybe at that time being a woman in poverty, can be really complicated and open to a lot of many problems. So it was their last hope for her to keep her children. So when we see the creditor behavior, we have to know here it's just a reflect of the spiritual state of Israel and its wickedness at that time. At that time, in the time of king, the people of Israel just adrift and did not fear God. The people who no longer know the Mosaic law. The people don't hesitate to destroy their own people. So that means Israel at that time had become hostile for the Jews who were faithful to God. So this made it even more difficult to obtain justice from a judge or a third party. You know, when everything is corrupt, everything starts to be difficult about justice. So when we look at this situation through the eyes of the widow, there is not that much possibility. We can understand that there is no way out. What could be the next step? Begging, selling herself also as a slave, or prostitution? So this woman was hitting the rock bottom. But when she looked at her future, she saw that there is still space to fall lower and lower for this situation to get worse. So faced to this hopeless situation, the widow will make a decision that would change the course of her life. She will turn to the Lord. She did not consult any idol. She did not seek to bow before Baal or Astarte, which was the common things to do at the time of the king of Israel. It was the two main idols, and the people didn't really seek the Lord. But the widow takes the choice to turn to the Lord and ask the solution from the Lord. And it was the first step of faith before the Lord that initiated her deliverance. She went and consulted the Lord through Elisha, and the Lord gave an answer. He didn't stay silent. He answered to her, and the Lord gave immediately. He provided immediately to a solution to her problem. That's what we read in the verse 3 and 4. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbor for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your son. Pour oil into all jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." So this is the solution God provided to the widow. And you know what happened next. She relied on God's solution, and she obeyed all the instruction God gave to her. And this second step of faith will bring a total deliverance of this family from the clutch of the creditor. When she poured out the oil into the empty jars, she collected the oil will multiply and multiply and multiply until all the jars were filled. So once she finished, she came back to the prophet, and she said in the verse 7, so she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left." So that was the result of the faithfulness of God and the obedience of the widow. A powerful miracle just was performed. So The family could pay their debts, but also they could live on the rest. So it's a deliverance and it's a total victory in this passage we can read. So for us as a Christian, we have a lot to learn about this this passage, actually. A lot to learn about God, but also a lot to learn about the widow's behavior. So the first central theme that emerges from this passage is that God is faithful and he never abandons his children. Amen? Is it true? Yes? Even in a hostile world, even in a country that does not fear God, God remains faithful. It's not because there is a lot of evil around you that God is not faithful. He will continue to be faithful. He will not abandon you. You know, I really love this picture because even sometimes we make mistakes and we are unfaithful. But even in this situation, God remains faithful. You know, you have the picture of, for example, a father and his son, and they have the hand, they grab the hand together, but the son don't want to keep the hand. So he tried to escape, but the father keep the hand of the son really tight that the son cannot drift away. So God remains faithful. And it's very important to remember this when the enemy seeks to harm you. This is really important because as a child of God, he will seek to bring you down. He will use every resource he has in his power, in his hand, to destroy you. No one escapes this rule. All those who made the decision to follow the Lord faithfully will be persecuted by the world, whether physically or spiritually. Jesus said, and he was very clear in John 15, 18 to 19. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you at its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hate you. So this is really clear. The world hates you because you took position for the Lord. You put your faith in the Lord. And this world have a prince. And the prince of this world is Satan. Okay? This is the enemy of God. His pride rise above heaven, but he is powerless against God. God is El Shaddai. He is almighty, but Satan is not El Shaddai. Satan is not almighty. God is the creator, but the devil is a creation. He is not all powerful. And that's why he chooses you to attack you. He wants to crush you like the widow. Because against you, he can try to do some bad things. So he wants you to be in the similar situation of the widow. He tried to really block you. You know, in chess, we are talking about screwing the opponent. It's a way of playing. It's a positional playing. And so you play with a really good position that your opponent, whatever the next move he will make, will lose some really important pieces. And this imbalance will make you win the game. So that's exactly what he did with the widow. The widow find herself in a situation, whatever the next move will be, it will be really difficult and disastrous. So this is how it works. And the devil is not the kind of guy to take vacation of being a evil, of doing evil. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So this is the warning. He is around and he's looking for an opportunity to destroy you. He's looking for an opportunity to harm you. And that is why sometimes as a Christian, we are going through difficult times. And sometimes it's even worse than some non-believer can go through. Like through illness, through suffering, accident, conflict, division in the family. And sometimes it's really difficult to understand why we are going through this trouble. And when you are in the trouble, it's really difficult. Especially today when a lot of churches promises like a prosperous and comfortable gospel. So sometimes we look back and say to ourselves, when I didn't know Jesus in the past, I didn't have many problems. It was like not like today. But this is really easy to understand, because a person who are walking toward hell, the devil don't have to harm him. The devil don't have to torment him, because he's already walking in the bad way. This is a really important thing we read in the Psalm 34, in the verse 19. And as a Christian, it's important to us to understand that verse. It says, the righteous person may have many troubles. This is a kind of promises. The righteous person may have many troubles. Were you not declared righteous when you gave your life to Jesus? We are the righteous people. It's not the people who do good deeds. It's the people who believe in Jesus. So, if you are walking the way of righteousness with God, you will have problems. It's unavoidable. You are in the line of fire of the enemy. But in the verse 34, there is, in the verse, 19, there is another promise. It say, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And the verse 20 say, he protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. So the righteous will have problems. He will have maybe many troubles, but God is faithful and he will deliver him from them all. Hallelujah. So if in this life you have storm and hardship, we have the firm assurance that the Lord will deliver us sooner or later. The Lord will not allow us to be defeated or destroyed. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9 said, we are hard-pressed on every side. I think the widow was really hard-pressed in this situation. But not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. This is a huge promise. The Lord will keep us from the destruction. The devil maybe will try to do something, maybe a man will try to do something, but the Lord will keep us in his hand. Okay? The Bible said in the verse 17, same psalm, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Not just one, not just two, all their troubles. And this is what the widow did when she consulted the prophet of God. She cried out to God. And these promises we just read with the widow, it was completely fulfilled. And the good news is God didn't change. He is still the same today. You can still rely on him as the widow did. And you can recall these promises in the verse 17 we just read. The righteous cried out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. Recall him the promises, and you will see that he will come to deliver you. Amen. He is faithful. There is another thing we can highlight in this passage, which is really important, is if God was faithful, also the widows remain faithful. And this point is really important for us to understand as a Christian. Her faithfulness was expressed in two ways. The first, we read that just before, she turned to God. She turned to the Lord to seek Him and find deliverance. She didn't try to solve her problem by her own strength or own effort or by a human intervention or maybe to have a second debt with a second creditor to maybe reimburse the first one. She didn't try to do that kind of thing. And she also didn't remain passive face to her problem. She didn't consider her fate to be sealed. That's why she turned to the Lord. And when the Lord responded, she didn't question the solutions that God gave to her. The second step of her deliverance, a second step of faith, is she obeyed faithfully all the instruction of the man of God. She humbly accepted that the solution of God was the best. And he gave to God faith in his word. She took her neighbor's empty jars, poured oil into it, and the miracle happened. So this woman shows toward God humility, faithfulness, obedience to God. And this was decisive in bringing out this miracle. Remember Naaman. You know the general Naaman, the chief army who was a leper. And he come also to see Elisha to be healed. And Elisha didn't come out. And he was really hurt by that. And also Elisha said, hey, you see, go to the Sea of Jordan and you will be washed in this water 7 times. And he said, but in my country, there is also a beautiful lake. I can be washed there. And he starts to return without obeying what the Lord said to him. It was a servant who came, hey, but it's not difficult. It's an easy solution. You can maybe just try. But Naaman was really at 1 centimeter to don't be healed. So humility to accept the solution of God, faithfulness and obedience. So that's why you should not be stubborn when the Lord show you the solution, show you the way to go. For the Lord likes to shake those who have just only human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 said, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So God's solution, even if it seems completely crazy, is always the best one. Amen? He is the one who brings deliverance. God's craziness, God's crazy wisdom is higher than the highest of wisdom of men. There is two wisdom, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. And the wisdom of God is always on the top. And this is really important. Many Christians have a lot of testimony like that. By their faithfulness and obedience, they went through crazy things and they get delivered. We have a partner in ICC. It's an international Christian community. It's one of our partners. He shared this testimony and I was really touched. And I hope one day he will come here to share his testimony because I will share quickly, but him, he can share maybe more than that. But basically, he had like a business with some collaborator who was really fruitful. He earned a lot of money like that. And two of these collaborators take the decision to steal the money and steal his part of the business. So they made like a lot of false evidence, a lot of false testimony. And one day, they just take everything And our collaborator, our partner, John Paul, was remained without money, without, he lost like almost everything on just one day. So he went to the court and he tried to defend himself. He lost a lot of money in lawyers and things like that. He cost to him his house, so he really lost almost everything. So he ended up, it was like friends who allow him to live at his friend's place. But at a point, at this lowest point, when he was like the widow, losing all of his money and his job, society, he just prayed. And he said to God, but what this happened to me? I'm a Christian. What this happened to me? I don't understand, Lord. He said, what I must do to obtain justice? He cried out to the Lord. And the Lord answered. He said to him, trust me and do nothing. Trust me and do nothing. So he decided to obey to the Lord. And after 2 years to being to the court with the false testimony, the false evidence, the investigator find a problem between the testimony and the evidences. And they could prove that the evidences were fake. So in just a couple of days, the victim became the accuser, and the accuser victim became the victim. So the situation completely reversed. So the Lord said to him, trust me and do nothing. And it was really hard to him because he was like, I should do something, I should say something. But the Lord said, no, just. So the last time I spoke to him on the phone, he said to me, now I have peace because I know I will win. I have my business back. But also, all of this situation bring me closer to God. I discover a God I didn't knew, a God who take care of me. He said to me, in 2 years of battle, in 2 years of deep poverty, I never lack of a place to sleep, and I never lack of money to eat food. So this is a great testimony. So God is almighty. Amen. And this is our last point. God is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is the God of the impossible situation. Okay? He is called El Shaddai, which means almighty God. And when there is no solution anymore for our problems, then it's a matter of God. If you see that you have problems and you cannot overcome it by your own strength, just stop. Now it's a matter of God. And we can trust and rely on God because it's only Him who can deliver us. David writes this beautiful psalm in the Psalm 121. David said in this psalm, I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watch is over you will not slumber indeed. He who watch over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watch you, watch over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the God in which we believe. Amen. He is the one who watches over you. You know, David, to write a psalm like that, a beautiful psalm like that, is because he experienced it. He experienced it. He is the Almighty God. If the door are closed before you, God will open a new path. You know this song, we sing it. God is a waymaker. This is true, He is a waymaker. We will sing it after. You know, when the Egyptian was trapped by the Hebrew between them, you know, you have like the Egyptian and the Red Sea, the Hebrew were trapped. They cried out to God, and God, through Moses, parted the sea in two parts. This is a miracle. You have a lot of scientists who try to find an explanation, a logical explanation, but there is no logical explanation. You know, I heard sometimes guys say, yeah, at some time there is like a big wind who are coming. Come on, the timing is just perfect. It's just a miracle. So, God is almighty. The widow was completely trapped with just on a little small jar of oil, and the oil multiplied, and it came from the power of God. Can we explain how oil can multiply? How we can explain that? Can science and logic can express anything about the multiplication of the oil? I remember when I was at school, my physics lesson, and the quote from Antoine Lavoisier said, nothing is lost, nothing is created, everything is transformed. And science has proven that it's true. It's a rule that God created for this world. But when God step in, he does not hesitate to break the rule. The limitation he has imposed to his creation, the Lord can transgress it. The Lord can go through it. That's why the oil just multiply and multiply. If this creation is limited, God has no limits. He is the creator. So on that day, God decides that the widow will pour the oil and it will not run out. It's a miracle. And God, as I said before, remains the same today. He still performs miracles. He can change any situation. He can overcome any authority. It is God who saved us. He sent his Son to take away our sin and saved us. So if he made this great sacrifice for us, if he gives the best, he can also come and solve our problem. Amen? Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you. You are really the Almighty God. You are really faithful, and we are worship you today for this faithfulness. We are really amazed to see how you are a good Father. And we are coming to you, Lord. We bring to you our problems. Come and solve our situation, because only you can solve our problem. We are like a little strength. We have like a worldly wisdom, but you are the wisdom. You have like the wisdom coming from heaven. Please, Lord, send us your Holy Spirit and come and talk to our ears that we can see and find the situation, the solution to our problems. Thank you, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.